anchor.fm. This podcast will be brought to you by anchor.fm.
Good morning, my beauty beauties. Good evening. Good afternoon. Whenever this wonderful podcast finds you, got some lovely rain sound in the background soothing you, I hope. Yes, it's really early. Still dark outside. Early morning. When it's still cold and quiet, we're in the portal. A manifestation and abundance and acceptance. My heart is full right now. My heart is full because in this twin flame journey or soulmate connection, the one thing that we can hold true to every single divine connection is that you will be forever changed after meeting this person in the 3D, in the mortal walk. You will be forever changed once you come into the consciousness that you've met and loved and lost your soulmate. Now, there's a running debate right now about the word soulmate, about the word twin flame, about if you have more than one, all this stuff. My position on the topic is pretty rudimentary because I look at myself as a complete entity, right? Possessing mind, body, and spirit and soul. Right? Your soul, your spirit can be synonymous. And I only have one soul. Now, I may have had multiple lives. That's another discussion. That's another podcast. But I only have one soul. So how can I have all these different soulmates? No, you only get one. And when you and you may have met some wonderful life partners and felt as though you guys share a soul tie, a soul connection, right? But in actuality, they were just a life partner. And I don't say just a life partner, like, you know, because a life partner is somebody that you could spend your entire life with. Okay. or share several lifetimes with. But your soulmate? Your soulmate is something completely different. Your soulmate is that sticky honey. That if the conditions are just right, it'll bond some shit together forever, okay? Honey. But because it's organic, stay with me, because it's organic, through natural elements, you can weather it away, you can sever the tie, if you will. I met my soulmate, and I thought I met my soulmate already, you know, but they were life partners. But I met my soulmate. I met my twin flame. And what's funny is it was almost like I can remember when I was being primed to meet him. I was like 17. I can remember everything. Our whole lives paralleled. It's almost as if I already know beyond a shadow of a doubt, and so does he, that if we had met physically any other time in our life, when we were younger, when we were in our 20s, anything like that, we would have had a trough of children. We probably would have had 11 kids together. Definitely. Definitely. Once we met, we would have been inseparable. Definitely. But I think that sometimes unions, depending on who you are and what you're supposed to do in this mortal walk, sometimes they can't come together until a certain amount of maturity, pain, loss, growth has occurred. Because the energies are so strong and the vibrations are so high. The frequencies are just so high that it would create reverb if we had gotten together any sooner. And we just would have been wallowing in. a sea of just overindulgence. You know what I'm saying? Just, oh my goodness. To the degree to where it would have made us disgusted with each other. And we would have missed what we were really supposed to be on this planet to do. Because we would not have been able to just filter all those emotions. It totally would have been volatile. Totally. But I got on the podcast, the One Talk Show, this morning because As you know, we deal with all things twin flamey and the debunking thereof and the enlightening thereof. And I have to apologize. And I may have done it in another podcast. I don't recall, but and I know I'm being pulled to do a tarot pull on the topic, and I'm going to. But as a twin flame, divine feminine energy, I just want to apologize to my twin flame, divine masculine counterpart. I do. I want to apologize because when we were together, I took him for granted. I did. I took him for granted. I was not as kind or as patient with him as I should have been. It took him being afraid to come back to me for me to realize what I had done. Because the love is undeniable. It's undeniable. I'm not confused about if his love for me is pure or true. I know it is. And you know, I put a lot of things on the table, and I recall early on when I was, you know, seeking, just talking to like a couple of people who I confide in, and I was saying this and they were like, no, you didn't do anything. It's not your fault. You know, it's not your fault that he cheated on you or he's cheating. It's not your fault that he abandoned you. It's not your fault that he's not living up to his responsibility as a man. It's not your fault that he left. That's on him. And I kept debating with them, like, no, it's not that I'm trying to be in my Catholicism on this one, you know, and just though I'm here to suffer. Nah, it truly is my fault, and it's his fault. See, I take 100% of the blame, and he needs to take 100% of the blame. You understand what I mean? It's my fault because I didn't. It's like God had given me something so precious because I have been asking for it my entire life. And I didn't even know what I was asking for. To ask for a soul connection, to ask for a union of this magnitude is filled with loneliness and confusion and separation and anxiety. The moment that you get to be with the person is really, that's why they say time flies, or, you know, hold on to what you got because it'll be gone in a blink. Because when you truly love and you are absorbing that love and it's pure and it's beautiful, that shit goes by in a blink. It does. It goes so fast. I look up and, I mean, I spent close to 3 years with my twin flame, and it went by so fast. But I could think back, when I think back on the moments that we shared, I love every single one. Every single moment that we shared, I could see him so clearly. I could hear him. I could feel him. I could feel his love, his tenderness, his strength. But what I didn't factor in was his weaknesses and his fears, his inadequacies, his insecurities. I didn't allow this ginormous man to be vulnerable. I didn't allow him to cry. And I'm not saying, you know, I'm giving a broad scope here, but meaning the way I viewed him didn't afford him a space to be free, to be accepted exactly as he was, with all his flaws, with all his idiosyncrasies, with all his insecurities, with all his hopes, dreams, fears, setbacks, all of it, all the things that plague his mind, all the things that hurt his heart, what drives him, what helps him, what makes him want to keep moving forward, what stops him in his tracks cold. I didn't factor in any of those things because I was too busy being selfish, enjoying what I was receiving. And I wasn't giving him everything that he needed. Now, like I said, when I was confiding in the couple of people that I do talk to, you know, I could see their love for me. But the truth is the truth. And the truth is, when you get to the place in your life, in this walk, and I know you guys could go back and listen to these podcasts, see the tarot readings, and just hear and see so much growth, right? Bless me. So much growth, so much progress, so much development. From me being the screaming, cussing, pointing the finger, woe is me chick, right? To becoming somebody who's balanced, who's centered, who accepts and allows others to be who and where they are, period. Because I have to accept where I am, and I'm not on certain levels, and I'm not at certain levels. So, you know, I'm excited for the opportunity to just feel this way. I'm serious because it's been a long time coming. I mean, a long time coming. And it's still very fresh. This profoundness is still very, very fresh, okay? Because, like I said, I was here about a year ago, but through all of, you know, the gassing me up and the neglect on his part, meaning he ran and he, you know, did whatever he had to do to put a callus around his heart, and he's scared to jump all in with me because that little preliminary preview was a little it was a little rocky there, buddy. but I think he shielded a lot of things from me just to protect the innocence of our connection, you know? I think he dealing with his own demons and whatnot, and he just, in his way, tried to protect me from that. And I'm grateful. I miss him every day. Every day I miss him. But loving him taught me so much about myself. And I don't know if I should say it taught me versus, you know, I accept it. I accepted certain things about my personality that, you know, I could improve upon. Nah. So, for that, I'm eternally grateful, on the real. The letting go process is just that. It's a process. Because, no, as humans, as spirits, as souls, we don't want to let go. We find what we gravitate to, and we want to attach to it. We want to attach to it and be with it, and that's that. You know? we want to just be a part of it. Why be separate? It's kind of like we're just not designed that way, right? So when you're forced to be separate, it's interesting if you actually take the separation like I did and isolate yourself. If you actually isolate yourself, seriously, during that time of separation, I mean, I had so many offers for sex and dating and going out and just all kind of stuff, and I just wouldn't do it. And I still haven't done it. And I'm at the brink of, I'm about to meet maybe my life partner that I'm going to be with, or my soulmate is actually ready for union with me. One or the other is happening. And either way, to get either one of those, I have to release. And accept that I fucked up, man. I fucked up. Because I had him right here with me. I had him right with me. And he was all in and he was invested. But he was fragile and I didn't listen. I wasn't listening because I'm a boss, you know. I'm a boss in my world. I run shit. I'm responsible for taxes and damn, you know, creating shit and oh my gosh, and building this empire and trying to raising my kids and running the household and taking care of my own self and health and well-being, and you know, so, and I'm building my home, so you know, it's a lot. And I just wanted to apologize, you know. It's not like how it was when I was with my life partner. When I was with my life partner, my last husband, I mean, I feel very clear and vindicated in that relationship because, I mean, I was right there. I did everything, shit. I did everything I could and some, you know, and was very patient in a lot of arenas that, you know, women just would leave a man for real. And I was right there. So it's not the same. I don't have this feeling of remorse or guilt or... I feel like that relationship ran its full course and it's exactly where it's supposed to be and needs to be. We're like the best of friends and I'm cool with that. But as far as my soulmate goes, it's different. It's different. And while I have to let him go, it hurts me because I care so much. I had to stop saying, I don't care. I don't give a fuck. You just go. I had to get out of that energy. You know, that's just that's just your attachment talking, you know, because we don't want to let go, man. We don't want to let go. Even if we don't do nothing with it, we still want it right there. We still want to be able to look at it and say, that's mine, you know. But it doesn't work like that with human beings because we need affection. We need each other. We need connections. We need to touch. We need to interact. That's just how the source, the great source, made us. Why do you think people, most people who isolate themselves and they're all hermity and shit, they're crazy? They are. They're crazy. They're batshit. They be doing weird shit and all anti-Kent. Man, that's another podcast. But think about it. Even in insane asylums, right? If you've gone, if you've seen it, or I mean, I haven't gone in one like for real, but I've seen enough movies and they all pretty much are the same. You see the open room where the people get to walk around and interact, and people want to interact. They want to interact. You'll find very few that are off on their own in a corner somewhere screaming, but most of them want to interact. That's just human nature. So when you isolate yourself for purposes of growth and spiritual development, oh, the light bulb comes on. It comes on so bright. Mm-hmm. You can see. And when the moon comes out, it's just the bright, shiny, illuminating shadow side of things, you know? Because the sun and the moon both show you things. I'm speaking tarot concepts. You look at it from that perspective. But I just wanted to come on for a few minutes and just apologize to my twin flame and to say I'm so sorry, you know. I'm so sorry for pushing you away. I'm so sorry for not being ready when you showed up. And I regret it every day. Every day, I regret it. And I know that, like I said, either my life partner, I'm about to meet them. I can feel it. I'm about to meet them. Or my soulmate and I are coming into full union. But either way, I gotta let my soulmate go. And I can't sit in a corner and twiddle my thumbs and rock back and forth. Hoping that he comes back. Nah. I release him. I let him go. I wish him love. I want him to find that love that he's so desperately, that we all are so desperately seeking. I know it's me, but he's not sure it's me because of what we already went through. Or maybe he is sure it's me, but now he's got himself involved in something that he can't get out of so easily, or he doesn't want that karma, or I don't know. Or maybe he loves the person. Maybe he found a life partner, you know? Because I'm telling you guys, the twin flame, this is a twin flame journey debunking, okay? Like tearing down all the myths and lies, and just based on my own personal experience, that's all. But maybe he found a life partner. You understand what I mean? And he loves her. And she loves him. And there's nothing wrong with that, guys. There's nothing wrong with that. And even though it was birthed out of pain and anguish and misunderstandings and an energy that wasn't quite grounded, and even though you might feel like you missing out or somebody else is about to get the man that was made for you or the woman that was made for you, it's all an illusion. It's all an illusion. Because if you were fortunate enough to meet your soulmate, to have loved your soulmate, okay? Because this is the threes when you... If that's a twin flame union, you met your soulmate, you loved your soulmate, you lost your soulmate, period. That's just how it goes. And then there's that gap, and then the possibility of reconciliation or not. It just depends. And the union, when they say you will come into union, it may not be physical. Your union is with your understanding of, damn, I get it. I know what love is. I know how to give love, and I know how to receive love. When you get there, then you come into union. I know it's like some fucking math equations and shit. I know, some advanced math. But that's how it is. It's sacred geometry, baby. Sacred geometry. So it's like, knowing exactly how to let go. And it's a process. It's a process. People think you just wake up one morning, okay, I'm letting go. All right, cool, I'm moving on with my life. Not if that's your twin flame. Not if that's your soulmate. Oh, no, you're not. Mm-mm. It's like, welcome to the lessons, baby. Welcome to the lessons. That's why I wanted, you know, to go through this whole process and let it do whatever it was supposed to do to me. Rip me a whole new one. I didn't want to skip any steps. I didn't want to miss out on any lessons. I wanted it all to just brawly, just slap me around. And it did. Oh boy, did it. Ever. Boy, did it ever. So at this point, I'm hopeful and excited for love. I will always be grateful for this experience. And trust Trust. I will definitely be using my intuition, my third eye, all my ways of knowing a thing, before I ruin another relationship. Understand me? Because this next thing that's coming my way is, that's it. This is it. This is the one. You know, it's the last relationship I'm doing on this planet with another person. It's the last one I'm doing. We gonna stick it out till one of us leaves the earth, you know? So, I'm ready. And I'm so grateful to my twin flame, because I feel like if I hadn't gone through that with him, I'd still be a heathen. I'd still be in my megalomania and my narcissism. I'd still be fucking not giving a care about. I would. I feel like a better person now. I feel even more. The funny thing, I've been stripped. Like, he's made me, I mean, aside from feeling insecure because I just don't live there, you know. I know what I'm working with. But because I want him, you know what I'm saying? I want what he brings me. I want what I have with him. I've never had that with anybody, and I've had some great partners, I'm telling you. But this is something else. This is something way different. Something I... It's different. So, you know, I have to let that go. I just have to let it go. I have to let it go. And it took me a while to let it go. And I drew lines in the sand. I was like, don't cross this line. And he crossed it and erased it and all kind of stuff. But, you know, I mean, aside from, like I was saying, feeling insecure, because I don't do that, you know, but I had lightweight depression. I was sad all the time. I was really, like, hurting internally, but I was misappropriating my emotions because I'm blaming him for things that he had nothing to do with. He only triggered it. He just triggered what was already in me. My daddy issues, my abandonment issues, my worth, self-worth issues, you know, all of it. So, and it was crazy because I know he didn't even know he was doing this lesson or whatever, but... You know, because he's just out there living his life, trying not to get caught up, you know. But at the same time, he loves me, and he cannot help. He cannot help that he loves me. And he cannot stop loving me. Period. So, and he cannot stop himself from expressing it somehow. He has to express it somehow. Even if in its most minuscule, minute, like, unfulfilling way, he still has to express it through text, through emojis, through, you know, acronyms, through smoke signals, you know, whatever. But for whatever reason, like I said, he may have found a life partner that he's sharing, you know, his life with now, you know. And there's nothing wrong with that. You have to let people live their life. You just don't sit around brooding because of it. Nah, get on with the get on. And if a connection with someone is what you truly desire, the universe will bring that to you. Period. They'll bring it to you. Okay. So, it was just a crazy lesson because he showed me love I mean, he tell me he loved me, and I know that he loved me and stuff, but, you know, we're disconnected, and, you know, but anyway, so I'm not gonna go back into all that, but the point is, that shit worked. That shit worked, and I'm on the other side of my tears, and that's not to say that I don't cry every day. I still might shed a little tear here and there. Not every day, I can't say that shit. Not every day, but every now and then, you know, I get a little overwhelmed with the emotion of the reality of what it is, because I can feel him so intensely. It's like I'm even laying here right now, and I feel like he's just in the bathroom. You know what I mean? I feel him just. And I had to allow that to be. I had to accept the fact that, you know, I care that it bothers me that he, you know, is not with me. I had to say out loud that, you know, I care so much that, you know, he's gone. And I had to say out loud that I'm sorry, you know, for pushing him away. Because that was my book. Man, shit. That was my other skin. You know what I'm saying? He was my other skin. So. And it was funny. It wasn't until I actually really let him go that I really realized all these little wonderful things about him that I love so much. You know? That he's probably not even aware of that he does. But that's love right there. That's something else. It's not just love. That's something else. Because I have this infinity for him. I do. Even the last time I saw him, he was so silly. Because my phone has a ID, you know, a fingerprint, whatever. But it was open. It was open. And I was holding it. And, no, I asked him to hand me my phone. He hands it to me, and I opened it, and then he leans down, and he's like kissing me sweetly, little, while he's reaching for my phone, and he grabs my phone, and I'm just looking at him laughing, like, what are you doing? And he's like, I'm checking these pictures. Like, what? No, you're not. He's just checking to see who was texting me and this, this, and that, whatever. But the look on his face was so friggin' adorable. I just want his son. I want to have his son so bad. That's what I'm saying. If we had linked up earlier in life, oh my God, we'd have 15 kids. All running around looking like me and him. But anyway. Yeah, just the look on his face was just so adorable to me. I don't know why. And I mean, and we weren't in a really good place then. It was just a couple weeks ago, I think. Yeah, because I had just injured my knee, and it was the day after I injured my knee last time I saw him. So it's been a couple weeks. But anyway, I don't respond to. I'm not going to be responding to any more of the, like, he texts me and stuff, but he's not really saying, he's not communicating really, you know, it's just kind of like a knee-jerk reaction, I think, a robot kind of text, and, you know, I call it bot love, cyber love. So I'm not going to be responding to that, you know, because that kind of keeps me salty. And I don't want to be salty. Because it's like, shit, to know that that man loves me, wants to be with me, wants me to have his son, wants to, but then he don't come around, or he's not here, or he's not coming back. That part I can't take, because I'm human, I'm just a girl. That part I can't take, so that's why I'm going to be ignoring that stuff. Because I'd rather completely cold turkey, have nothing, no communication, no contact, no seeing you, no nothing. Like he does, he'll completely leave the entire area so he don't see you. But that's, I can't, this is my house, my home is here, you know, and he's everywhere. There's not a street I can't go down over here that we don't have a memory. There's not a place. There's a lot of places that I go that's, you know, in my world that he has, you know, there's a few that he hasn't been, but there's a lot where he has been, and I have those memories, you know? And it's hard for me. It's hard for me because I see him everywhere. I see him everywhere. Not literally, but in my mind. His energy, his residual energy. I was in Long Beach the other day, and oh my God, the train couldn't go by, and I would think of him, the bus, and I'd think of him, somebody riding on their bike, going past certain buildings and places. It's just, it's overwhelming. So you have to do what you have to do to protect yourself emotionally. At the same time, you have to allow yourself to love the person and to miss them and to be sad that, you know, they're gone. Okay? So I hope this little message touches your heart. It's pretty long, I know. No breaks. But I do wish you love and light, guys. And as always, I'll see you in the funny paper, aka the internet. Ciao, Bela. Ciao, Belo. Mwah.
The One Talk Show will be right back, and don't go anywhere.
Thank you for stopping by the One Talk Show with that you go girl, Juanita Nelson Combs. This has been a twin flame journey debunking. Please stop by our other platforms, Spotify.com, Google Podcasts, iTunes. Also, check us out on YouTube. There's a YouTube channel and many, many others. Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, y'all know the drill. Please like, share, and subscribe. Again, stay in your higher self. Know that good things will come to you. Manifest them. Don't worry when the bad things happen. It is a learning lesson. And as always, you are a part of the One Talk Show family for as long as you like to be one. And we will always wish you love and light, and see you in the funny papers. Bye!